Well, hello. How are you all doing? I hope you're good. Come on, I think you'd have a bit more energy than that. You guys all right? You awake? Come on, it's daylight savings. It's like still sunny outside. It's good. I don't know if anyone else noticed, Sam's got this little thing up here that's like he's doing drums on, I thought it was an iPad, but it's not. Anyway, I thought it was cool. And he's pretty talented, so I thought I'd point it out for everyone. Let me pray, and we'll get into the Word of God. God, thank you that you are so awesome. You just give us so many good things, a place to meet, with equipment to use, and we thank you that we, and the band specifically, can make beautiful music to worship and glorify you. And I just pray that tonight you would use me to speak your truth. And so it's been a crazy week. Abby's been crazy. And so give me the energy that I need to deliver as best I can the word that you've put on my heart, God. In Jesus' name, amen. So I thought today, and I don't want to freak you out too much, Charlotte, but I'd start with a test. I know HSE's coming up, and so I thought I'd get you in early. A test. I like optical illusions, and I think I was inspired by Stu Robinson the other week. But here we go. This is like, you can talk to people around you. You don't have to do this in silence. Let's show up the first optical illusion. Ethan, if you whack it up. First optical illusion, how many legs does this elephant have? You can discuss with the people next to you. Yeah, you're like... It just gets even more confusing the more you look at it. How many legs do you think it has? If you're confused, don't worry, because the reason I put these up is that I got every single one of them wrong. All right, you think you've come up with your answer? If you guessed that the answer was 4, you are correct. Again, I keep looking at it and I still don't know how it's 4. Everyone tells me it's definitely 4. Whack up the next one, Ethan. How many triangles are there in this image? How many triangles are in this image? I got this one wrong as well. The correct answer is, for those who said none, it is none. There are 3 V shapes and 3 Pac-Man shapes. There's no triangles. And the next one was the one that stumped Australia. Whack it up, Ethan. Is the dress black and blue or white and gold? What do you think? Black and blue, white and gold. I know the answer and I still see it wrong. That's a problem, isn't it? The correct answer is indeed black and blue. Yep. And I still see white and gold. Who sees blue and black? Who sees white and gold? Okay, I'm not the only crazy one. Who sees something completely different? There's a few... I was saying to Ethan earlier, he's like, I see green. I'm like, right. Tonight I've titled my message, How's Your Perspective? How's Your Perspective? And if you're like me, after looking at these images, I didn't think that it was that good. Perspective is the ability to put things in their proper place or see things as they should be seen. Perspective is the ability to put things in their proper place or to see things as they should be seen. And in our lives, what can happen so often is that we can become fixated on a particular thing or event or person, and we can lose all perspective. We lose the ability to put things in their proper place. I was talking to Eleanor the other day. She says, what are you preaching on? I said, perspective. She said, are you writing this sermon for me? I said, no, of course I wouldn't do that. I kid. But I do want to give a bit of background as how I came to this message and to how God helped me form this message. So Andrew goes to me, "You got free slate. You can talk about whatever you want." And usually I'm like, yes, exciting. I got this idea. I've been thinking about it for a while. This time I was like, I had this moment of dread because I was like, I got nothing. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I got nothing. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll go. And I look at the Bible and I'm like, all of a sudden I had this realization. I'm like, this is a big book. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of options, a lot of things to choose from, a lot of good stuff in here. And I had one of those moments. And this is probably more of a guy moment. I don't know if any of you guys relate, but I went asked to go to the shops to pick something up from the shops, grocery shopping. And I go to the shop and I was like, for example, it's like yogurt. She's like, can you go get some yogurt? I'm like, yeah, sweet. I can get yogurt. No dramas. Go to the shop. Look at the shelves. Look at all the yogurt. I'm like looking through. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. The one we buy isn't there. And so I've got this like moment where I'm just in front of the yogurt. I'm like, fat-free pot set, whatever that is. What's goat yogurt? And before I know it, like 10 minutes has elapsed, and I'm like, that's it, I'm just calling Eleanor. I like, get on the phone, and I'm like, Eleanor, the yogurt that we usually get's not here. She's like, so just grab any yogurt, it's yogurt. I'm like, all right, whatever. And that's the kind of situation I was in for this message. And I'm like, that's it. I need to call God. And so I pray, which probably should have been the first step, but let's look beside that. And I'm praying to God. And this is what I feel as though God says to me. He says, Jesse, you've lost your perspective. Now, that wasn't the title of the message that I was going to preach. I think that was something that God was saying to me. And so I want you to know tonight, I'm preaching to myself as much as anyone. And my next thought was, well, if I'm going to bring a message about perspective and my perspective is off, what am I going to talk about? What's the answer? What is the right perspective? Is there a right perspective? What's the goal here? Because, you know, when someone gets up to preach, you kind of hope that they are going to have some answers. You don't want them to get to the end of the message and be like, and so in conclusion, I don't know, figure it out. Like, that is not a good place to be in. But throughout the week, I feel as though God has led me to some answers, which I'd like to share with you guys tonight. And so we're going to start in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12-15. To give you a bit of background, Paul is writing this letter to the believers in a city called Philippi. He's writing to encourage and spur them on in their faith. And when Paul writes this, he's actually writing it from inside a jail cell. He's imprisoned at the time. And so this is what he writes. Chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Paul talks about a goal and a prize. It's about a goal and a prize. And if we understand what this goal and prize are, then it should help us frame our perspective with the same lens that Paul has. Because Paul's perspective is always looking heavenward. He's always looking heavenward. And we should strive to take hold of that same heavenward perspective. Because if our perspective is correct, then everything else in our lives find its proper place. So what's the goal then? For Paul, the goal is this. It's very simple. It's knowing Christ and becoming more like Christ. We know this if we look a little bit further forward in the passage. In verse 8, This is what I said. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ. It's the goal in the simplest form, for not just Paul, but for all of us, to know Christ and to become more like him. Sounds simple when it's said like that, right? But I know in my own life, it's not that simple. In my own life, I kind of see it as though it's like the first match of an under sixes soccer game. You've got all these different players. You got this one kid who's like really good. They understand how soccer works. They've got the rules down pat. They get out onto the field. They're like the first to kick a goal. You're like, man, that kid's good. That kid's real good. And you got another kid who's like trying really hard and they're kind of learning the skills. But you like look at them and you're like, man, like maybe this sport's not for you. Pick something else. And you've got the other kid who's like always distracted. He's like more interested in the dog on the sideline or like playing with the grass. He's like, ooh, that's cool. And the ball goes right past him. It's the distracted kid. You know who I'm talking about? If you don't know who I'm talking about, you're probably that kid. just putting it out there. And then there's a kid that's like completely lost on the field and they're like just looking around. And they finally get the ball and they're like, which way do I go? And they turn towards their own goal and like trying to kick. And you're like, no, go the other way. Is that person pointing fingers over here? There's all these people. And at one point or another, I've been all of those players when it comes to my faith journey. And it's like God's the coach of the team. And sometimes he's like, hey, Jesse, well done. Like, that was awesome. Keep it up. You're doing such a good job. And there's other times where he's like, oh, no. Oh, no. Turn around. You're going the wrong way. Turn around. He's like, oh God. Hook him. You're subbed. Off the field. And I'm sure that you can probably relate with some of those kids as well. Which one are you at the moment? Are you doing really well in your faith journey? Are you kicking goals? Are you getting to learn more about Jesus, becoming more like him? Or are you trying really hard, but no matter how hard you try, things just aren't seeming to click? Or are you just distracted? You've been distracted with the busyness of life, the to-do list, that you've forgotten about the goal completely. Or are you just lost in the middle of the field? You don't even know which way you should be heading. But I mean, we need to ask the question, why should we be concerned with the goal in the first place? Why does knowing Jesus and becoming more like him matter anyway? Well, Paul talks about a prize. And it's human nature to want a prize for reaching a goal. I mean, I see this every week in youth. You get up, explain the rules of the game, tell them all how it works. And one of the first questions is, what do we get if we win? The prize of being the best. That's what you get. Or in a scripture class, you go in, and the students are doing their work. If you tell them that there is a prize at the end, if there's like, you get chocolate if you're the first to finish, you get an answer right, their like involvement just skyrockets. They're like writing all kinds of stuff. It may not be right. Half of the time it isn't. They just want to look like they've done it. But they're like, I've done. Where's my chocolate? It's human nature to want to work for a prize, whether it's a medal, whether it's a trophy, whether it's cash, whether it's even just the acknowledgement that you've done something. We all like acknowledgement. You know, if you go and help someone move house, and at the end of the day, they're just like, cool, see ya. Like, no thanks? Like, when you're like, and then they don't thank you, and you're like, where's my thanks? You go and complain, oh, I got no thanks today for helping out. No one even thanks me, they don't care. That's what we're like as people, right? It's the reality. It's human nature to want a prize. Paul in Philippians says that the prize, it is the prize for which God has called him heavenward. In 1 Corinthians, Paul calls the prize a crown that will last forever. When he talks about victory, he says that death has been swallowed up by victory, that death has lost its sting, and through Christ we have the victory. Paul, when he talks about this prize, doesn't talk about earthly things. He's always looking forward. He's looking heavenward to things that are eternal. And for Paul, the prize is the day where he will get to meet Jesus face to face and have an eternal relationship with God himself. That's the prize, an eternal relationship with Christ. And that's why Paul rejoices. Despite the sufferings, despite the hardships, despite getting beaten, despite being imprisoned when writing this letter, despite constant threats of death, Paul's perspective is always heavenward to the day where he meets Jesus. Because he knows that's the greatest prize. That's why he can rejoice regardless of his circumstances. That's why he says to live is Christ and to die is gain. He's looking forward, eyes fixed, focused on the glorious prize. And that's where we should be looking as well. Now, I don't want you to get me wrong here, because this may sound like it's a works-based sort of thing. Like, work really hard, get to know Jesus, understand your Bible, go to church, and then if you're good enough, you can have a prize. No, that's not how the system works. No, God's gift of eternal life is free. It's free. It's on offer for all people. You just have to take it. But there is a call on us, those who choose to follow Jesus, to consistently get to know God more. And for a couple of reasons. One, so we don't lose faith ourselves. Get to know God. Get to understand who he is. Get to understand how good he is. Trust him so you don't lose faith yourself. And two, so that we can be the light of the world. So that other people can share in the prize that God has given to all people. Because all they got to do is take it. And we want people to know that. We want people to come into that relationship with God, because it's the best thing ever. Because despite our circumstances, despite what's going on in our life, we know that we have a hope of eternity after this life. In a moment where all tears, all suffering will be wiped away and we just get to be in a relationship with God. A perfect relationship. And people get to know Jesus from seeing how Jesus is continually shaping and molding our lives as we experience joy from having a heavenward perspective. Yet, for Paul, there's a constant tension that he's playing with here. A constant tension between wanting to go and be with Jesus, but also wanting to be here to share his news with all people. We see in chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 22, this is what Paul says. Chapter 1, verse 22. He says, "If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, again your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow in account of me." He says, my prize is eternal life. And that's ultimately where I want to be. That's what Paul's saying. I want to be in eternal life with Jesus. But for Paul, making sure that other people get to experience that same prize is so important that he's like, well, I'll stay here. I'll stay here to make sure that other people know it. And so, again, that should be our desire. Because if we have a heavenward perspective, we should be concerned with other people in our lives experiencing that same joy, that same prize at the end of the road. Now, to say having a heavenward perspective is easy again, but it's harder to do. I remember early on in my driving career, I guess you'd say, I was on my red P's. I hadn't driven much at all, and My brother was at home. It was a Saturday. Me and my brother were at home. He had a couple of friends around, and they were heading to a music festival. And their original lift to the music festival had cancelled on them. And so they were trying to work out, how do we get there? And they were like, all right, we'll ask Jesse if he can take us. I was like, sure, no worries, I'll take you guys. And so the four of them hop into the back of the car. It was still early on because I remember that I didn't have a car of my own. I was driving my mum's Mazda 3, and we were driving out to the music festival. We got to, where was it? Down near the water. What's that place called? I should remember. Near the beach. It was near a beach. Where that fancy like dessert place is. Brighton, thank you. Thank you. There you go. I remember things. We got to Brighton. And what I remember is, you all know the fancy dessert place. We weren't quite there yet. We got to Brighton, and what happened is I remember the car in front of me slamming on their brakes pretty quickly. And so I was like, oh, I slammed on my brakes. And then the next thing I remember was a big crash. And the car shook. And I looked up. And I didn't hit the car in front of me. I was like, phew, that's lucky. So I look behind, but I don't see anything behind me. Like, what did I hit? What hit me? What happened? And so what I did notice was onlookers on the sidewalk. And they looked real concerned. Like, better get out of the car and find out what's going on. So I jump out of the car. And as we walk around to the back of the car, we see a motorcycle sprawled out on the ground, looking pretty trashed. And the guy's like trying to like slowly get to his feet. I'm like, I didn't see him because he was just on the floor. Luckily, he was okay. He didn't have any serious injuries, and he got up, composed himself, and he was all right. And we swapped details, like as you do when you get into a car crash. And he gave an explanation as to why he hit us. And I couldn't believe the explanation when he gave it. But this is what he said, I kid you not. He said, sorry, boys, I got distracted by the hot girl on the side of the road. Right. I don't know what to say to that. I was told that you never admit fault when you're in a crash. Definitely don't admit it in that way. You ever heard of the saying, keep your eyes on the prize? This guy's eyes were not on the prize. They're on a distraction. Paul says in Colossians, set your mind on things that are above. He says, press on towards the goal to win the prize. It means that we have to have focus, to set our eyes heavenward, and don't let your vision waver from that prize, even if it's the hot girl on the side of the road. Yet, we live in a world that there are so many distractions. So many distractions. And it's so easy to lose that heavenward perspective. And it becomes damaging when anything else becomes more important to us than that eternal prize of Jesus, spending eternity with Jesus. And it's not like one day we intentionally wake up and we think, oh, Jesus isn't that important, I'm just going to go focus on something else. It happens gradually. Gradually, without us even noticing it. And before we realize it, we're chasing the prize of success or a relationship or family, compromising our goal and losing sight of the heavenly prize. And just like that, we've lost perspective. And generally, the distraction is a good thing, right? It always starts out as a good thing. That's why it's so hard for us to decipher sometimes what the distraction is. It's a good thing that's lost its proper place. It's a good thing that we've turned into a God thing, that we've given it God's spot. And God no longer has the highest priority, but something else has taken its place. And then we convince ourselves, because it is a supposedly good thing, that the attention, the love, the time, the affection that we give to that distraction is good. Makes it very tricky to try and accurately find your perspective. But Paul says, at the end of the day, make sure your perspective is accurately focused on the prize to which God has called you heavenward. And he's called all of us that way. Do you have something tonight that's distracting you from that heavenward perspective? Do you have something that's not in its proper place? Do you have something that's taken the place of God? That's stopping you from achieving the goal of knowing Christ and becoming more like him? That stopped you from receiving the prize? God has prepared the prize for all of us. He did that with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. But we need to remember as well that the prize is not just for you. It's not just for me. It's for all people. So would you be brave as well? Brave and share the news about Jesus Christ resurrected with those people around you. That they would look heavenward and experience the same prize that we get. And if you're here tonight and you're thinking, I don't even know if I have that prize. I don't know. But that's something that I want. Then I would love to chat with you after the service. I'd love to pray with you. Please come and chat. So that you can receive that prize. So tonight, how's your perspective? Are things in their proper place? Are you seeing things as they should be seen, or are you being tricked by an illusion? Tonight's the time to throw away distractions and fix your eyes heavenward to the prize that God has called us. Let me pray. God, I thank you for who you are. Thank you that you have given us life and life to the full. And you call us heavenward. Where you say you've prepared a place for us. And so we long that we wouldn't be there alone, but we would invite the people in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces to come and share in that great prize together. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for the hope that we have despite any circumstance, despite any situation, that we will one day see you face to face and get to share in that eternal prize. In Jesus' name, amen.